Hello, I'm Trevor Dan. This is the weekly podcast from radiotoday.co.uk, where we're going to have a look at the independent radio production sector.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, innovative solutions for creative radio people.
This week saw the inaugural APAs. Those are the awards that used to be the RPAs, but have changed their name to recognise the arrival of Audible as title sponsors. There was plenty of great radio as well as audio to celebrate at the South Bank, and we'll hear more about that in a minute. But first, to Salford and the Nations and Regions debate, where the newly appointed director of BBC Nations and Regions, Ken Macquarie, made an important announcement about the independent radio sector. Here he is with moderator Kirsty Walk and indie producer Marvareen Cole in some extracts from the debate.
Let's turn now and look a bit at radio. It's often neglected in this media debate, yet there's 150 radio indies across the UK. Now, Kenny Macquarie, how does BBC Network Radio commissioning fare outside London?
I think that we have work to do, and particularly in serving the independent radio community across the nations and regions. And one of the things that I would like to do is to set up a forum where the BBC are engaging more with independent radio production. I think that would be a positive thing to do. But not well enough is the answer to the question, Kirsty. But I could like to point out some positive examples where we have Bruce Young, who commissions drama for Radio 4, based in Glasgow. He is empowered to make these commissioning decisions and commissions a large slate of radio drama for BBC 4. So there are lots of good things happening. They're probably differentially distributed at the moment, but between now and April, we'll be looking at what we want to do to fulfil the new charter as far as radio is concerned.
I've got a date here I've been given. 17th November 2015. A year ago, the BBC, under Helen Bowden, promised to set up a joint working group with the radio indie sector, and it's not met once.
Well, that's certainly, it is my intention to ensure that that group does meet as part of my new role. I think it'll be a rich experience just to hear from the production community.
80% of radio production revenue from the BBC went to companies in London.
80%.
And I absolutely concede that we have work to do there as far as
can you give me a promise that it will come down to 50?
I'm going to give you a promise to this end, Kirsty, that part of my job will be about ensuring that we have and that all the signs are good from my colleagues in London, that the nations and regions are seen as opportunity and not obligation.
So do you have the go-ahead from Tony to really crack the whip on this one and kind of not quite name and shame, but if people aren't delivering, both in terms of diversity of what goes on air, diversity who provides it, then you can take a big stick?
I have the responsibility and have been charged very clearly in Estonia's published as to what he expects my role to deliver.
Marvareen Cole.
Ken, I totally agree. You know, I started and really honed my skills in journalism in local radio, and BBC Radio WM is one of the finest. But also to talk about network radio, again, as someone who was seeking to produce their first ever Radio 4 documentary, I sought the fantastic Made in Manchester, run by Ashley Byrne here in Salford, to make that with. So again, in terms of network radio, in terms of producing factual programmes for Radio 4, for Radio 2, there needs to be some sort of will to nurture newer indies. And also, the budgets that are available for making programmes for Radio 4, for making programmes for One Extra, and I've produced documentaries for both of those stations, the budgets are minuscule. Yet the amount of content that comes out, as you say, is highly applauded, is highly awarded, is fantastic. And there's such a disparity that really needs reviewing.
I mean, there's 3,000 hours of BBC radio is due to go for competition the next 3 years. Are there enough radio indies? Kenny Macquarie?
I think it's a chicken and egg situation, really, as far as that's concerned. Kirsty, I think I'm absolutely confident that we will see, given what we've described about the dispersed nature of talent across the UK.
Well, let's talk about more about that.
I'm confident that we'll see that. But I will commit to a real dialogue with the indies across the UK in terms of what we need to deliver.
So the BBC has a new Director of Nations and Regions, having abolished the post 7 years ago. That was him, Ken Macquarie, pledging to engage with independent producers outside the South East. Let's find out what the indie sector made of it. Will Jackson is MD of RIG, their trade body. You were there, Will. Was this a surprise?
A surprise? I'm not sure. It's good news, though, definitely. I can tell you that. We've been calling for a level playing field for independent producers based outside London. We did a survey in 2015 of our members, and that showed that 80% of spend on network radio with our members was spent inside London. So we'd like to see a better reflection of the population of the UK and the diversity of the UK in that spend. And the first step of that, to put this into context, was Helen Bowden at our AGM in 2015 saying that she'd agreed with our proposal to set up a working group. Now, with all the changes at the BBC that have been going on in management, we've seen Helen being about to leave the BBC, the working group just hasn't met. Every time we've tried to get something together, it's been, well, we're not sure who's going to be there. So obviously we want the key players in place. That's now there with Ken Macquarie, which is a good thing, and Bob Shannon as well. They've both expressed a commitment to this working group, and it will be great to sit down with the BBC at last.
Does this mean, do you think, in the long term, that there will be more radio production jobs outside of the South East?
I would hope that that's one consequence, because this is about the BBC investing in the creative economy. So I'd really hope that that is the case. The BBC isn't awash with cash at the moment, as any of its staff will know. So whether that's money that comes from the BBC or whether that's money with the independent producers investing in new content and new output because of the opportunities that will hopefully come from this and from the compete or compare changes where the BBC is opening up more of its network radio content to competition, then yes, that's certainly an outcome we'd like.
Compete or compare, it's a complicated notion, and I still meet people who don't really understand it. Frankly, Will, one of them's me. Who decides whether a programme is, in this new language, competed or compared?
We think that the majority, the vast majority of programming will be competed. So compete or compare in one sentence is the principle that if the BBC can put some of its programming or any other services, in fact, out to competition, then that's always the best way. And that's certainly something that RIG agrees with. We want to see the best programs and ideas on air, regardless of source, whether in-house or indie. If it can't be competed for, then they'll do a benchmarking exercise, a comparison of whether the BBC is getting value for money in the way that it produces it. So we would certainly expect the majority of eligible programming to be competed for.
Do you think in the end that this will really mean that programmes will be cheaper? Will the BBC be able to spend less money and get as good or better quality programming?
No, the principle for this is not about cost. This is not putting programmes out as cheaply as possible. This is about making sure that the BBC quite rightly and properly gets value for money, but this is not a race to the bottom to produce programmes as cheaply as possible, and that's absolutely not something we would want to see.
Well, one of the issues that's always raised by people who work at the BBC is that there are too many indies. They say that even though the BBC tried to cull the list a few years ago, there's still far too many, there's too much commissioning time being spent. Do you think in the future that more smaller companies will need to consolidate, as we saw in commercial radio?
I think what this is not about is making commissioning easy. That's not what we want. We want a streamlined process that is not bureaucratic, and having talked about doing things cheaply, the commissioning process should be as efficient as it possibly can. Now, there may be some consolidation in the sector. We've seen that in television, but I don't think that really reads across. And if anything, there may be more independent production companies as people seize the opportunities of more competition for radio programming, just as an inevitable byproduct of the sector growing up.
In the end, is this just going to mean a bunch of people who take redundancy from the BBC set themselves up as indies, and the same people are making the same programmes?
I don't think so. I think inevitably some people may exit the BBC and choose to do that. And we know that a lot of programme makers, including yourself, Trevor, are BBC alumni. And the training that the BBC brings is a good thing. But no, we just want to make sure that the best ideas get on air regardless of source.
Well, thank you, Will Jackson. Stick around if you can, because we're going to join the celebrations of indie production at this week's Audio Production Awards. This is where the producers win the prizes, at least for the most part, not the programmes.
I'm David Roper from Heavy Entertainment, and I'm very proud that I won tonight the Best Audiobook Producer for the work we do at Heavy. I really should thank all our clients, the publishing industry, because it's without them there wouldn't be audiobooks, there wouldn't be producers. But I did point out on stage that I really hope there'll be a producer category every year for many years to come, and that there won't be just home recordings, because it's about teamwork. The narrator working with the producer to craft something amazing. And once the narrator's left the studio, the hard work begins. So very proud that somebody honoured that tonight.
Hi, I'm Chris Ward, and I won the Best Station Sound Producer at the Audio Production Awards 2016. I think the real reason we won had very little to do with me. I've got a fantastic team around me, a team of amazing producers in Regan and Jonathan and Gav and Joe and Lydia and Kate. I'm really, really lucky with an amazing team, and I've got a really supportive boss. Owen is, doesn't matter what kind of crazy idea I come up with, he lets me run with it. I was quite surprised. I was not expecting this at all. There was some amazing talent nominated as well, so it feels really good. We included sort of a lot of stuff from Key 103 in Manchester, where it's quite local focused, but we included a lot of topicality production, which is stuff around, for example, if a big movie comes out, Star Wars, everyone's talking about it, we're reflecting that on air. Happy Father's Day, it should be something, well, if everyone's talking about Brexit, what are we doing on air? And hopefully fairly quick, fairly entertaining, but still has that sort of feel of the radio station.
My name's Christian Spooner, I'm from BBC Radio Merseyside, and I won the Best News and Current Affairs Documentary / Feature Maker of the Audio Production Awards 2016, which is absolutely amazing. I'll be honest, I wasn't expecting to win it. I thought it would be Deborah or it would be Tim, who were up against me in the category that would win this. This was for a lot of the work that we did on the Hillsborough inquests. I produced lots of documentaries and also features as well. And I think, as I said on stage, being an audio producer of documentaries can be a really lonely place sometimes, that, you know, you'll spend many, many hours trying to get the right music, trying to work out whether the sequence works okay, whether it's going to work for the audience, and you can spend many, many hours and then totally change it and start again. And when it finally comes together in the pieces that it did, like the Trevor and Jenny documentary, it really is something special, and to win this tonight is just absolutely incredible.
Hello, I'm David Press from Whistledown, and I'm really, really chuffed to have been the recipient again. The company has won Indie of the Year, and we're absolutely delighted about that. A fantastic team of people here tonight, and a fantastic night for the audio radio industry. And I think, you know, hats off to the Radio Independence Group for organising this night. It's been absolutely fabulous, and thank you very much.
Hello, this is Phil Critchlow. I'm chair of the Radio Independence Group and the CEO of TBI Media. We had a wonderful time this evening, and I was really thrilled to be able to present the Lifetime Achievement Award, which this year went to Desmond Carrington, a very worthy recipient, 70 years a broadcaster. It was a good moment at the end of a very good awards, which went very well.
As I think you know, I've been doing stuff on the wireless for about 70 years, and that has only been possible because of the amazing people in this wonderful business of ours. I'm very sorry I can't be with you tonight, but I shall be raising a glass to toast you all from here in Scotland. One personal request from me. Keep the music alive and going round and round in all its many and varied styles. It keeps you young, you know.
Will, how did it go?
It was a great night. You'd expect me to say that. And I've only had about 3 or 4 hours sleep since the
You're doing
the
very well.
Ceremony. So it was a proper celebration of audio production. And that's one of the things that I really like about these awards, that these are about the people that make great programmes, not necessarily the programmes themselves. And this year's the first year that it's the Audio Production Awards. We wanted to acknowledge that the sector is changing, and alongside the really important market that is the BBC, there are now all sorts of exciting new and emerging players that are becoming increasingly popular, like Audible and their audiobooks.
We've heard one or two clips there from the ceremony, from the actual prize givings. I wasn't there, unfortunately, but one or two of us are suffering awards fatigue at the moment. What can we do, do you think, in light of the cancellation of the Arkivas, to bring some kind of sanity in terms of spreading these things across the UK radio year?
And I agree with you on that, Trevor. Much as I like going to awards ceremonies, they have all sort of ended up being towards the end of the year, and we've still got Radio Tech Con to go on Monday. But we'll definitely be talking with the Radio Academy and the organisers of the other awards as to how we can space those out better. The Audio Production Awards traditional date in October or November was there deliberately to put it directly opposite the former Sony Radio Academy Awards, which traditionally were in May. So that worked. If we're moving the calendar around, we definitely want to be part of that conversation.
A few eyebrows have been raised this morning about the organiser of the APAs, David Prest, winning the production company of the year with his own company, Whistledown. There was a slight smell of FIFA about this. Can you assure us that it was all done properly?
How very dare you, Trevor. Yes, I can give you that assurance. I was chair of the judges. I'm not aligned to any production company. All of the judges are completely independent. I spoke to David afterwards and specifically said, had anybody told you? Was there a leak anywhere? He went, no, I was so surprised. That's why I didn't really have a speech prepared or anything like that. So absolutely, David was not involved in the judging process at any stage.
That's a relief, Will. So as an event, I mean, notwithstanding what you've just said about there are some possible reconfigurations of UK Radio Awards, as an event, do you think it reaches into some areas of the industry where people don't historically get honoured, get a chance to be recognised?
Absolutely, and we have some really interesting categories like the Grassroots Production Award, which recognises new and emerging talent and people working to get new people on the radio, which this year went to National Prison Radio. Really pleased about that. Audio newcomer James Shield, who won Best Newcomer and Best Online and Podcast Producer, was another one I was really pleased to see. And yeah, it's great to be able to honour the people who actually make the radio.
Well, congratulations to all the winners at the APAs. Thank you very much, Will Jackson from RIG. This is the Radio Today weekly podcast. I'm Trevor Dann, and this is Stuart Clarkson with the latest Radio Today news.
Broadcast Bionics, solutions for radio, sponsors the Radio Today programme.
Yes, thank you, Trevor. And the Commercial Radio Awards have been cancelled after 21 years. Radio Centre says it's time to move on from the Arkivas, and instead it'll be helping the Radio Academy with its new awards, the ARIAs. Radio 2's building's been renamed in honour of its greatest presenter. Staff now go to work each day at Wogan House. It's just round the corner from Broadcasting House in central London. BBC's Director General, Lord Hall, has announced plans for what he hopes will be the Netflix of the spoken word. He told the Voice of the Viewer and Listener conference this week the BBC needed to do more with its world-class audio content, and the new platform will be aimed at audiences outside of the UK. As you've been hearing, the Audio Production Awards took place in London this week. Big name winners included Fee Glover and Kerris Matthews in the presenter categories. Indie of the Year was won by Whistledown Productions. Radio X is getting a new boss. Matt Deverson, who runs Global's TV channels, will take over as managing editor from the new year. He replaces Chris Bourne. BBC Radio Wales's new editor has been announced this week as well. Colin Patterson will take over from Steve Austin's. Colin joins from Radio Scotland, where he's been editor of general programmes. He was previously an exec producer at Radio Wales and also used to be PC at Red Dragon. Heart has a new late show host. Big Top 40 presenter Kat Shube takes over the network slot from Zoe Hardman, who's done it for the last 16 months. Tributes have been paid this week to Dave Gregory, who's died after a battle with cancer. He was on the pirate stations before doing shows for Radio 1, then going on to Metro, Essex, Jazz FM and Choice FM, and he'd been working on solo radio for the last 15 years or so. Well done to Radio 2, whose listeners raised £5.8 million for this year's Children in Need appeal, including £1.1 million from a single auction item. That was a private take, that gig. Lots of great fundraising too across the other networks and BBC Local Radio. And nice to see Radio 1's Greg James making his debut on the Telethon Appeal Show on BBC One as well. And two more pop-up Christmas stations to tell you about this week. Scottish Sun Christmas Radio has gone on DAB in central Scotland and Aberdeenshire. It's the first public sign of a tie-up between Wireless Group and its new owners News Corp. And also new is Manchester Cathedral Radio playing a festive selection on the small-scale DAB multiplex in the city. And that one's being run by the Manchester radio legend Mike Shaft. And that's it for this week from radiotoday.co.uk. I'm Stuart Clarkson.
Your best content, shareable and discoverable on any platform. Oasis from Broadcast Bionics helps you build a closer relationship with your listeners. Welcome to the social studio at bionics.co.uk. Radio Moments,
David Lloyd. It feels a little strange to me to be marking landmark birthdays for digital-only channels, but we're getting to that stage, aren't we? Happy 5th anniversary to this one from the Absolute Stable.
Everyone's getting excited about our brand new radio station.
Absolute Radio 60s. They say that they're not going to play your records.
And on Loose Women this week, Sir Cliff Richard.
They're using me to advertise their station, and I hope they're going to be really successful.
I'm delighted that Absolute Radio 60s won't be playing Cliff Richard, because he's not what that station is about. That station is about these musical greats like Bob Dylan and the Rolling Stones and the Beatles and Stevie Wonder and all the Motown stuff, which still resonates today. That bands who are picking up guitars for the first time today, they are listening to those records and getting inspired. I'm sorry, but nobody is getting inspired by Cliff Richards.
Happy birthday, Absolute 60s, born this day in 2011. Kenny Everett, a little like Blackburn, loved radio so much he ended up appearing on just about any station which wanted him. Radio 2 was his home for a while, and this week, 33 years ago, saw his final show there.
Oh, the very wonderful, everlasting Doris Day. She's responsible for two-thirds of the consumption of milk in the United States and cycles everywhere throughout Hollywood on a bicycle. She's so brimming with health. Mind you, nowadays she has to drag her wrinkles behind her in a plastic bag. Doris Day, that was. Everly Brothers, Dwayne Eddy and Kayu Sakamoto. It's 26 minutes to 12 right here on 2. And guess what? It's Newie time!
Yeah!
This is gonna be a monster.
Everett on Radio 2, and his days there ended this week in 83.
Oh, Superman.
Name changes have been commonplace on commercial radio of late, but BBC stations also had their fair share as they wrestled with county boundaries, station amalgamations, and more regional identities.
I was the last person on air, I think totally coincidentally, I don't think it was intended. I closed down Radio Birmingham and opened up Radio WM.
And now I'm very sorry to say that BBC Radio Birmingham is closing down. Yes, we're closing down, and we're closing down for good. But tomorrow, Radio WM takes to the airwaves with all your favourite programmes and presenters. And, of course, it'll be louder and better than ever. That's Radio WM, the sound of local radio for the 1980s, in tune with the West Midlands, from 6:30 tomorrow morning, with Alan Dedicote bringing you all the news.
The voice of the balls promised as BBC Radio Birmingham becomes BBC WM this week, 35 years ago. This BBC station hasn't changed its name ever since it launched this week, 49 years ago.
Next Wednesday, BBC Local Radio comes to Liverpool and Merseyside.
Radio Merseyside, Radio Merseyside. This is your local station, the biggest in the land, and it's Merseyside, Merseyside.
Radio Merseyside will broadcast on VHF at a frequency of 95.85, bringing high-quality radio coverage of every activity that has made Merseyside what it is today. We went along to ask one of the most famous Merseysiders what he thought of the new radio service.
By Jove, just what we wanted. Radio Naughty Ash. It's tutti-filarious. It's full of plumptiousness.
Was it? Happy birthday, Radio Merseyside, born this week in 67. Besides name changes, the other challenge for radio stations is when they have to move frequencies, sometimes because a better one becomes available, or because new international frequency agreements mean you have to move house. That's what happened this week in 1978 across the AM band. Some commercial stations moved a kilohertz or two, but for the BBC, it was time for major change.
As far as Radio 3 is concerned, 464 metres really is sinking slowly in the west. Or actually the east, because I believe that from now on it's going to belong to Albania. I wish I knew the Albanian for the best of British luck. Well, if you're a medium wave listener and you haven't yet stuck helpful stickers all over your radio, and if you forget to retune tonight to 247 metres, that's 1215 kilohertz, goodness knows what'll come out of your set when you switch on tomorrow morning. Probably the Albanian archers. But don't panic anyway. Twiddle patiently to the spot where Radio 1 has been hitherto, and you'll hear Dvorak or Albinoni or Mozart or whatever, and you'll know you're home. If you can't find it, look on page 41 of this week's Radio Times, and you'll see a couple of phone numbers you can ring for guidance from people who are standing by just for that very purpose. So don't worry, it's going to be all right.
The big frequency changes at the BBC this week, 38 years ago. And they coincided with the launch of Radio Scotland.
Now it's time for Radio Scotland's gala opening night concert from the Kelvin Hall in Glasgow, where we now join my colleague there, Peter Easton.
Thanks very much, Ken. Well, this is a gala night for radio. In fact, a new era of broadcasting in Scotland started today with the birth of Scotland's first national radio station, the new Radio Scotland on 370 metres and VHF. And tonight, here in the arena of Glasgow's Kelvin Hall, we celebrate our opening night. In a moment, we'll be joined by viewers of BBC One because this is a simultaneous broadcast in sound and vision.
The early moments for BBC Radio Scotland this week in 1978. It replaced the Radio 4 opt-out. In commercial radio, change often happens from corporate activity. And this week, 9 years ago, Ralph Bernard announced he was going to step down from heading GCAP, the company which had been formed by a merger of GWR and Capital.
I just didn't have the stomach for it, to be honest. I just thought, you know, the time has come when you've got to say... Duke Hussey used to say to me, if everybody thinks you're drunk, it's time to lie down. I could never feel that it was something that I could leave easily. But, you know, when you've been part of something for so long and they're your babies and you've nurtured them and created them and, you know, it wasn't easy.
Ralph Bernard, who vacated the head honcho chair at GCAP this week in 2007. The company was acquired by Global the following year. Let's remember this week Nick Clark. Known for his appearances on The World at One, he died this week 10 years ago. Nick was just 58. Diagnosed with cancer, he and his wife compiled an audio diary which was broadcast on Radio 4.
It's Sunday, December the 11th, which means that there are 8 days to go before I lie down and have this limb removed, which at the moment, well, I'm just looking at the toes at the other end, look fine, but are part of the problem. And in order to remove the things, I call it, at the top of my hip, at the top of the leg, the leg's got to go too, which seems a bit tough on it, but there we are.
Radio 4's Nick Clark, who died aged 58 this week in 2006. He'd arrived at the BBC in Manchester in 73, going on to present The Money Programme and Newsnight, before joining Radio 4 in the 80s. Here's one we must do. For years, Radio 4 opened its days with the UK theme. It wasn't a jingle as such, because this was Radio 4, after all, but it was a bit like one. It was first aired this week, 38 years ago.
Thursday is also the day when we have a new piece of music to start the day off on Radio 4, and in case you are not up at 6 o'clock in the morning, I play it to you now. So here it is, the new Radio 4 opening music.
Happy birthday to the UK theme, arranged by Fritz Spiegel. It was to launch Radio 4's Day at Dawn for 28 years. So, with Power FM in Hampshire becoming Galaxy South Coast 8 years ago... Galaxy. The death of Stuart Henry 21 years ago...
Once again, I have returned to be with you, my friends.
The first John Evington show on Piccadilly Radio 38 years ago...
John, I'll make it fit if it kills me. Evington through till 10 o'clock on the request hour.
And Radio 1 launching on digital satellite TV 17 years ago. Those are this week's...
Radio Moments.
Thank you, David. That's your Radio Today programme for this week. It's been a TDC production. Next week, we'll be at the revamped Radio TechCon, meeting some of the delegates and finding out what engineers and technologists are thinking about the future of radio. Tickets for that, by the way, are still available at radiotechcon.com. I'll see you there. Thanks for listening.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creating and distributing clever software for radio.